I became a physician in order to help save lives. I am at once a physician, a citizen, and a woman. And I am not willing to stand aside and allow the concept of expendable human lives to turn this great land of ours into just another exclusive reservation where only the perfect, the privileged, and the planned have the right to live. Dr. Mildred Jefferson. Regular readers may remember Weaver Cove Boat Landing, a nearby frequent sunset stop for Rita and me. On the road in, last summer, we were greeted often on a small hillock next to the railroad crossing by two families of woodchucks. Mothers, fathers, and pups. Watchful and wary, the adults would bark when we got close, and the young ones would dive into the brush and the safety of their dens. We monitored their progress and growth. Woodchuck pups grazing on the fresh spring grass are cute, and a passel of the large ground squirrels is entertaining. Lumbering awkwardly, yet quickly when necessary, they are somehow encouraging. Life in one of its myriad varieties. The ospreys still nest and hunt there. The various species of gulls, terns, and ducks are abundant. Canadian geese summer at the cove. But this year, and not for lack of looking for them, we have seen only one lonely woodchuck, and he was a gray-whiskered, grizzled veteran. Only once, and not again at the edge of the bushes. I wonder where they went. Coyotes? Woodchuck failed relationships. Did the neighborhood get too expensive? Too many trains? One old remaining woodchuck who looked around in the spring spied no eligible woodchuck beauties, got discouraged, retreated to one of his tunnels and pulled the dirt in behind him? We will probably never know, but I miss the woodchucks. A friendly knoll devoid of woodchuck pups is a momentary deprivation. They are hardly an endangered species. A country well below our population replacement rate and increasingly devoid of young human pups is entirely a different matter. One tragedy that Mildred Jefferson understood well is the misconception that terminating babies liberates women. The truly liberated are three generations of irresponsible sperm donors who have increasingly laid off the responsibility for their libidos and the resulting pregnancies on women. Pregnancy was not what I signed up for, honey. Either the kid goes or I do, is the tragic refrain of far too many postmodern boys who fail the opportunity to be men. Rita and I have been involved in helping many women facing just this awful choice for nearly 50 years. My angel in distress, you look okay to me, I'll send you my address. When I know what it will be, I could easily stay with you, on your side of heaven's door. 'Cause I don't love you any less, but I can't love you anymore. Lyle Lovett, I can't love you anymore. Far too large a topic for a blog post, but we can look at one major contributor to the dearth of babies in our country and in many others. Preborn infant termination and lies have are frequent allies. The narrative that legal abortion alleviates more heartbreak than it creates is a commonly accepted truism that rings increasingly hollow. Just one example, and there are many others. The New York Times, yes, that New York Times, recently ran an exposé of carelessness, unsanitary conditions, and danger to patients at Planned Parenthood. I invite you to read the full article if you get past the paywall and form your own opinion. Botched care and tired staff. Planned Parenthood in crisis. Here are some relevant quotes. In a case settled in California last year, a woman accused the organization of improperly implanting a birth control device in her arm and causing nerve damage. A Nebraska clinician in 2022 did not realize that a woman was 4 months pregnant when she inserted an IUD. Several hours later, the patient was rushed to an emergency room and gave birth to a stillborn fetus. For months last year at the North Central States affiliate, which oversees the Nebraska Clinic, an understaffed nursing department did not upload sexually transmitted infection test results into charts, and patients wrongly believed that their results were negative when they did not hear back. Many clinics are in dire need of upgrades and repairs. In Omaha last year, sewage from a backed-up toilet seeped into the abortion recovery room for 2 days, according to interviews with staff members. The Times article finds underfunding, underpaid staff, high turnover, and poorly trained staff responsible. Perhaps there is an underlying and more pernicious explanation. Planned Parenthood is a business and not a healthcare clinic. The many ethical and legal violations are well documented. Planned Parenthood consists of 49 semi-independent affiliates, each with their own CEO. The average pay for those executives based on the local affiliate's income was $352,661 in 2023. The last full-year reports were filed. The highest is Sue Dunlap in Los Angeles. Sue pulled down a lucrative $875,942 in total compensation. Not a bad job. Neither is the top job at the mothership. National President and CEO Alexis McGill Johnson was paid $904,014. In some states, local law, for political reasons, exempts Planned Parenthood and other abortion businesses from the mandated health inspections that keep real healthcare clinics clean, safe, and professional, or local authorities are less inclined to enforce the regulations that do exist for politically sensitive businesses. Efforts by some states to mandate that physicians perpetrating these procedures must be granted admitting privileges to local hospital have been stopped in the courts so far. Too much of a burden on a woman's right, etc. A doctor can fly in from another state, whack out a few late-term abortions, and fly home with impunity, especially if their home state has passed laws shielding them from liability. The abortion industry regulations and their enforcement are heavily influenced by money, politics, and ideology, not just medical prudence and common sense. How many deaths were we talking about when abortion was illegal? In Narrell, we always said 5,000 to 10,000 deaths a year. I confess that I knew the figures were totally false, and I suppose the others did too if they stopped to think of it. But in the morality of our revolution, it was a useful figure, widely accepted. So why go out of our way to correct it with honest statistics? Dr. Bernard Nathanson, co-founder of NARAL, National Abortion Rights Action League. Dr. Nathanson, who later became an outspoken abortion opponent, presided over 60,000 abortions and performed over 5,000 personally. The false narrative of thousands of maternal deaths from back-alley abortions to support the original Roe v. Wade decision has been debunked many times, most notably by Dr. Nathanson, who helped make the statistics up to document his case when he was one of the most vocal advocates for legal abortion. The actual number of women who died from illegal abortions prior to Roe was estimated to be under 100 per year for the nation. 87% of back-alley illegal abortions were committed by doctors in medical facilities or hospitals. The common meme of unsanitary knitting needles, brutal coat hangers, and bloody kitchen tables were emotional appeals to support pro-abortion advocacy. Did such horror occur? Most likely. But they were the rare exception, not the norm. Not even close. Lies and the abortion lobby have long been close companions. The ongoing controversy regarding the high risk of chemical abortions without adequate supervision and follow-up has yet to be resolved. It is another instance of politics and ideology affecting science and medicine. A recent largest ever study from insurance company data, Precist, found that in just under 11% of chemical abortions, women develop serious and even life-threatening side effects requiring emergency room care or hospitalization. That's 22 times more often than the FDA publishes for injuries caused by chemical abortions. Incomplete abortions, ectopic pregnancies, extensive bleeding, infections, sepsis, necessary surgery to complete the abortion, and cardiac or thrombosis problems were among the treated conditions. Worsening the risks to women are the laxity of regulations in the use of these pills. When initially approved in an expedited conditional process by the FDA during the Clinton administration, restrictions for safety and medical oversight were included. At least 3 office visits prescribed only by a physician, no pregnancy past 7 weeks, pills must be dispensed and taken only in the doctor's office with a preliminary exam, observation and follow-up, and adverse effects must be reported. Regulations were loosened progressively during the Obama administration and again under Joe Biden. The limit was pushed to 10 weeks gestation, and none of the above apply. At 10 weeks, the woman could expel a tiny but recognizable baby into a toilet or on the sheets and be left to deal with that on her own. Mail order drugs ordered over the phone with no physician required, and no office visits are approved, are the current almost negligible requirements. There is pressure from the pharmaceutical industry and the abortion lobby to make them available over the counter. When politics and profits determine medical practice, what could go wrong? And yet, I remain hopeful. Perhaps reason and prudence will eventually regain their rightful place, and life will again be protected. Life will again be cherished. Life will again be loved as our most precious gift. Abundant life will prevail. What's lost is nothing to what's found, and all the death that ever was set next to life would scarcely fill a cup. Frederick Buchner, Godric.